Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to hymn. Well, it is a hymn, Psalm 139. The Jewish people would sing these psalms, so it is a hymn in that sense, but obviously hymns are on my mind since we were talking about rejoice in the Lord. But Psalm 139, we'll be looking specifically at verses 13 through 16, but I thought we would read the whole psalm to get its entirety and then get there into the middle of it. It's one of those psalms that tends to touch the heart more. Not that none of them don't, but some of them tend to resonate with us, I think, more so than others. Reading of psalms of David in his running from Saul or running from Absalom, we're not in those conditions. And so while I understand what he's referring, it's like, but that's not me. I didn't have to leave town because of fear of my son about to take me out and usurp the throne. And so I'm leaving under great duress. We do have duress of other sorts, of course, but those, you understand them, you see them, but then there are others that just, they touch your heart. They draw you in, and you really commune as friend to friend with it, and it becomes a psalm of comfort and strength. And Psalm 139 is one of those. As David writes, he says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. Surely Thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against Thee wickedly, and Thine enemies do take Thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate Thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against Thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this, Thy word. We thank You for the truths that are here as David expresses his understanding to the point that he knew of who You are, of what You know and what You do. And Father, he is overwhelmed. Truly, Father, when we stop to consider these things as well, we are overwhelmed. You know us. You know us better than we know ourselves. And Father, that should truly arrest our attention and bring us into sharp focus with you, to realize we can hide nothing from you. And so our lives are bare before you. And help us to live with that understanding, Father. Father, for truly it liberates us to know that you are active, that you are working your will and way through us. And we thank you. We pray, Father, that you would help us as we look at these truths to understand. And Father, where we have maybe wandered or tried to think that you could not see, may we seek your cleansing and forgiveness where we have strayed. And ask for your grace to go forward for you. Draw that one that is lost unto thyself. May they be brought under the convicting work of the Holy Spirit, seeking to draw them unto you. And may they respond in faith, believing that Christ died in their place for their sins, confessing their sin, acknowledging their sinfulness before you, and be wondrously born again before they leave this place. Bless and use your word. May we go forth rejoicing, saying it's been good to have been in thy house today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we come to our passage. Come looking at verses 13 through 16, kind of there in the middle of this psalm, and reminding us that we are truly fearfully and wonderfully made. As we look at this time of year, this is usually, people have set aside this particular Sunday for sanctity of life. I trust that it is not falling on disfavor because we have seen Roe v. Wade overturned on the national level, but we have not seen abortion end in our country. We just pushed it back down to the states instead of giving that federal mandate to have it be available, if you will. And I trust that there will be a day that we can rejoice, that Americans have understood that the taking of a little life is just that, the taking of a life. We are all wondrously and wonderfully and fearfully made. And David lays that out for us here in truly amazing terms when you consider David is writing 3,000 years ago. And he has this conception of what human life is and its interaction with God, if you will, and God's interaction with human life. And when we understand that, I think it makes it very clear that, yes, that little couple cells in the womb is a human being. And therefore, worthy of life. Because the God of life brought it to life. And yet I say these things, and it to me it has seemed so clear. This is basic biology that, you know, those of us that have our gray hairs, we learned in biology class. And understood that, yes, when those two things meet and it germinates, life is there. And then they start to multiply. And pretty soon there's, yes, with the ultrasounds that we can see now, there's a baby there, a little human being. And we have understood that. And yet in our day and age, I was listening to a piece online. Senator Hawley was, I don't know when this was taking place, since the internet never tells you when, or the reasons why, because I wasn't watching C-SPAN or something like that, but just catching a clip of him interviewing a doctor. And the doctor's unwillingness to answer, yes, that basic question, what is a woman? What is a man? And repeatedly not answering the question and seeking to go off into, I would say, never, never land. And I thought, you're a doctor. I'm assuming a medical doctor. I mean, I realize there are lots of doctors. I mean, for that matter, you go into my office, you will see a plaque up there that says I'm a doctor. I'm not a medical doctor. But since we're talking about those things in the Senate hearing or Congress hearing, whatever it is, it would be Senate. He was Senator Hawley. That this is a medical doctor who was taught these things in medical school, who was taught it in biology class in high school, and could not, or I shouldn't say could not, would not answer that question, which is, yes, still a basic question. We are male and female. That's how God created us. There is none other. Amen. But with that understanding, again, to me, the doctor, I would think, would be the one that would quickly acknowledge that, yes, there is a God. Because they of all people understand, and I say understand, I would put that in quotes, that this human body is complex. That no two people react the same way to the same stimuli. Some of you don't have a problem with Easter lilies. Good for you. Enjoy them. I will enjoy them vicariously through you. I cannot. That pollen from an Easter lily drives my nose insane. I cannot. We cannot occupy the same room. We can't occupy the same building together. When we came to Lincoln Park in Washington, that first Easter, our ladies that took care of our flowers had real Easter lilies. And she had put them there on the communion table. And they were there before Sunday. And I walked in on Saturday afternoon. Oh boy. We need to have a conversation. And we did. I moved them out to our breezeway, our entranceway, and put them on our shelf that we had. So they were out of the auditorium. The auditorium got better, but it was still there. I had to move them into our old fellowship hall. And I had to remind Miss Birdie, I said, I'm sorry, Miss Birdie. I said, I really am. But it's either pastor or Easter lilies. Both cannot coexist in this building. I said, I really am sorry. I love flowers. They're beautiful. I said, but that pollen is just attacks my nose, and we just can't stay together. And thankfully, she understood. We ended up with silk Easter lilies. And so Life was wonderful, but how is it that some people don't have a problem with it and others do? Because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God lays that out for us here as we look at these verses. I mean, we see the omnipotence of God. We see His omniscience. As David lays these things out, God is everywhere. I can go nowhere but what God is there. I can't say anything. I can't think anything but what God knows it. And then he comes to us. As we read these verses, he says, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." We have, thankfully, a divine craftsman. The mystery and beauty of God's creative work is here for each of us. These verses declare that we are not accidents or afterthoughts. Rather, we are intentionally crafted by the loving hands of our Creator. And as we look at ourselves, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily ask you to do this, but I trust that at times, as we are here in the auditorium, you would just stop and look around. I mean, I do it because I'm up here, but you know, there's a lot of differences. We're all human beings. And yet we're all different. We come in different shapes and sizes, different skin tones, different hair colors, some naturally and some not. I'll leave it at that. I've let God be my hairdresser in that regard. And so, yes, my hair color has changed. It's gone through three phases. He wanted me a redhead and then made me a dishwater blonde. And now I'm a platinum blonde, as I like to say. God did the changing, not me. We see a great variety. And we can wonder, and we look at ourselves even more deeply, and you will, yeah, we are different. We have different likes. We have different quirks, idiosyncrasies. Even though we all come from the same gene pool. You know, Noah and his wife are our great, 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 great grandparents. We all come from the same gene pool. And yet we see this diversity, this difference, this uniqueness that God formed. And David reminds us of this in these verses. When we were just in our mother's womb, God was forming us. And He didn't make any mistakes. You know, we can look at our outside features and we can be very critical. And that works for both men and women. We tend to hear it more from the female side, the women, the teenage girls, being very self-critical about themselves. You may be more of it, but believe me, guys do the same thing, just to a different degree. And we have our differences because that's the way God made us. And we can see things and think, oh, there's something wrong there, and it may not be. I mean, my mom, bless her heart, throughout my lifetime, if something happened to me or something was discovered about me physiologically that seemed to be a little odd, and Mom heard about it, she would immediately make this statement. It must have happened when I had an x-ray on my teeth when I was carrying you, and they didn't put the leather, the lead apron over me. That was her standpat answer for anything that was unusual about Brian Ernsberger. Well, that must have happened then. I was like, Mom, somehow I don't think so. But you could never convince my mom of that. But we are all fearfully and wonderfully made. The deepest, most hidden aspects of us was there because of our God. The things that make us different are there by God's designs. Whether it's freckles or not, for us, whether our firstborn has red hair or not, that was an issue. Everybody looked at, where'd she get the red hair? Now, the Ernsberger side of things. I had the same red hair when I was born. We always thought it might change for her like it changed for me. She kept it. I didn't. But those distinctions are all there by God. He's the one that put them there. And may we not blame him for it, but may we embrace that. I'm different because God made me this way. Our personalities, abilities, our quirks are known and shaped by God. When we feel unseen or misunderstood, I trust that these words will remind us that God knows us. Yes, these deepest levels. God has a reason, a purpose, and a plan for these things. Let's embrace them and go forward for our God. He continues, he says, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb, God's presence in the secret places. This gives the image of a master weaver, if you will. God is crafting us. Again, those that know biology, we can think back to seeing the classes and seeing the pictures as that child develops. As it grows, the month of January, instead of using the military pens, I have the two little feet, which, as I recall, is the size of our feet when we're 10 weeks old, as I recall. Very much 2 feet. There's no mistaking that. Those are 2 feet, 2 human feet. At 10 weeks, he has made us this meticulous crafting. I mean, it still amazes me. I mean, we never, ultrasound in our day was a costly thing. It wasn't just there for us to do. And we chose not to for those two reasons. It cost us. And we wanted to wait on God's surprise. Wait till the day that they arrived in this world. And then have my wife say, is that okay? When it's a girl that comes? Because everybody had been telling us, oh, this is a boy. The way you're carrying, this is a boy. We were hearing that so much, we both were having dreams about having a boy. And then this beautiful little girl arrives in this world. And Lynn says, is that okay? No, send it back. Let's try again. Yeah, no, no. But he's the one at work. To see that complexity. and to see it unfold and develop and continue to do so once we come out into the world and watch the growth and the development and realize that, yes, who is at work? God is. Again, when we look at our biology, we realize that that little entity in that womb, as far as the mother's body is concerned, is a foreign substance. The DNA of that child is not the DNA of its mom. It's only part of her DNA, and it's part of the father's DNA. And so it has a new structure. And our bodies tend to want to destroy foreign entities, which sometimes do happen. And that child doesn't make it to birth at times. But again, that's still all part of God's plan. But when we see and understand these things, it continues to show me, I wonder, I amaze that God allows life to come forth. He nurtures it along. They come into this world. And yes, we hold them. We realize we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God knows us. He knows all about us. Every little detail. Again, more so than we even know. And so, yes, David exclaims, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Again, it is amazing that David understands this to the context that we have written here 3,000 years ago. To my knowledge, they didn't have an ultrasound machine in David's day. They couldn't take the wand over the womb and show David the picture of Absalom or Solomon or any of his other children. And yet he makes these wonderful, gracious statements about the intricacies of us when only God knows us. I mean, even if we do have an ultrasound and we look at that child, we can see the image. Do we know what kind of child it's going to be? Oh, yes, a boy or girl. But do we know their personality? Do we really know them? No, we don't. But God is noting, I do. I know them because I'm the one that made them. I know their personality. I know how tall they're going to be. I know the color of their eyes, the color of their skin, the color of their hair. I know everything about them. And David makes that exclamation, if you will. I will praise thee then. Stop to consider this. God, I praise you. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And as he notes up above, you know, these things are too, such knowledge is too wonderful. It's high. I cannot attain that. It just blows my mind, if you will. Amen. This is our God. And he cares so much about me to know these things about me and to form me like this. We are truly, fearfully, and wonderfully made. Again, when we look at the complexity, when we see that, who but God? How dare we think that somehow this is all a great accident? I'm sorry, I don't have that kind of faith. To believe that all of this is an accident. That I'm an accident. Now, yes, physically speaking, I was an accident. But Mom and Dad knew what they were doing. So, no, I wasn't an accident. But we're not an accident. Because there is the divine creator who brought each of us into existence, forming us. God knew. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. Even before our bodies took shape, God saw our unformed substance. He knew us in the earliest stages. More than that, in thy book all my members were written, when as yet there was none of them. God's knowledge doesn't stop at our physical formation. It encompasses every day of our lives. Our future is not unknown to Him. And every moment is held within His loving plan. God knows everything. 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 I realize we don't know everything. We can know a lot of things. We can know a lot of things about ourselves, but even we don't know everything. Because we don't know what the future holds for us. But our God does. So can we trust Him? Yes. Our trust is in Him is based on the things that we do know. In the interaction with Him in this life to this point. He did create me. He did wondrously and fearfully form me in my mother's womb. And because of that, yes, I can and I will trust Him. Amen. With my life. Yes, in salvation, coming to know Him, to have my sins forgiven, washed in the precious blood of the Lamb, made a new creature. Because we have that understanding that God knows. God knows. And therefore I trust. Nothing that happens is going to take Him by surprise. Oh, it surprises me, but it doesn't take Him by surprise. What does it mean for us to be fearfully and wonderfully made? It means we can live with confidence in our identity, knowing that we are loved and valued by God. It also invites us to treat others with dignity, recognizing that every person is a unique creation of the Lord. How many of us, don't raise your hand, are guilty of or have been recipients of some cruelty because we dare look different than somebody else within our group? I mean, back back in my day, oh, the late 60s into the early 70s, of course, you had the hippie generation, which they were a bit older than me. But guys liked to grow their hair out. That was even common for us in those in the younger years, the little brothers of those that were the hippies. And I can remember growing up in a military home. Military home. How's your haircut, soldiers, sailors, Marines, airmen? It didn't follow the national trend of folks. It was different. It was shorter. I remember being ribbed about that day in and day out. Because yes, my haircut was cut a bit like the military, yes. I had short hair, tapered stuff. Later on, it would grow out, and Mom would only cut my hair once a year. So once a year, I looked like Dad, and then the rest of it was growing out until I kind of looked like everybody else, but then it got cut again. But we are different. And may we realize that. May we teach our young people that. Yes, they are different. That's not to be made fun of. Because you're different than them. Careful to turn the tables around on you. But we all are. God has made us unique. And yes, it does encourage us to trust God for our future. Because he's the one at work. And David ends the psalm by noting with all of this. And putting and realizing my trust is in him. So he makes this declaration. Search me, O God. And know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. I mean, he's already acknowledging that which he's already said. God knows my thoughts. But he is willing to acknowledge that and say, yes, God, search me. You already know me. It's not an acknowledgement to God as much as it is an acknowledgement to David, to himself. God knows me. And I'm comfortable with that. Search me, O God, and know me. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. It's David coming full circle and realizing, yes, I can trust God. Explicitly, intimately, because he knows everything about me. I cannot hide from him. I cannot hide anything from him. He knows it. And David, in essence, is saying, I embrace that. I'm not being foolish to myself by saying, oh no, God doesn't know. I can do this. I can go here. I can think this. And God doesn't know. I'm in this room surrounded by lead. And it blocks God. No. God knows. And David is acknowledging that. God knows. And I live in confidence of that. And I embrace it. Question for us. Do we? These verses invite us to marvel at God's intimate involvement with our creation and to rest in the assurance that we are known, loved, and purposed by Him. Our lives matter because the one who made us is both all-powerful and all-loving. So let us respond with praise and gratitude, embracing the truth that we are wonderfully made for God's glory. We're God's. And we live in the light of that and in the joy of it. So God, yes, You do search me. And I'm thankful for that. Because I can't hide anything. My life is an open book to You, God. Again, it's more of an acknowledgement to ourselves, not to God. God already knows. But do we live with that knowledge? Or do we try to mask it off? Kind of like, well, if I don't say it, it's not there. No. Embrace it. God knows. We find ourselves living far better when we take God at His word, believe such, and live in the light of it. God does know us. Now, God, use me. Your purpose and plan is unfolding. May we embrace it and be a part of it instead of being dragged through this life by God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the truth that is here. We thank You for this Psalm of David as he reminds us of who You are. You are God. You know us. You made us. Even our quirky idiosyncrasies, You made us. And we thank You and praise You for that. Truly, may we acknowledge, not just to You, I mean, You know this, but yes, to acknowledge to You, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And we know that, and we acknowledge that. And Father, that acknowledgement is more to ourselves than to You, because again, You already know. But it is our own acknowledgement. Father, when we read this psalm, when we read these truths, I trust it does humble us. Father, we cannot hide from You, whether physically or mentally. You know all about us. We may hide things from others, but there's nothing hid from You. And so may we live in that truth. You're here. You know us. And may we live our lives as that open book before You that we are. May we embrace the life that You have given, that we may go forth and bring honor and glory to You and You alone. May we rejoice in what You have done. It may not be what we thought should be done, but Father, our ways are not Your ways, because Your ways are above ours. You see the end from the beginning. You have the purpose and plan being laid out. You know what's ahead. And you have been planning and preparing our lives for that which is ahead. Because we cannot know. But you do. Help us to live in the light of your word. And Father, that will cause us, yes, to walk humbly before you, joyfully before you, as we live this life that you've given to us. Father, we thank you for this life. We thank you for all life. We pray that you would open the hearts of others who, in times of inconvenience, of foolishness, of sin, has put forth the things that would bring forth life that you have created. May they see that truth too. It is a life that you formed. It is a life that you value. It is a life that you sent your Son to die on the cross for. May they see that life come to fruition and not be terminated. Father, we thank you for who you are and what you are doing. May we go forth bringing honor and glory to you and you alone. Father, as we close our service, as we sing our closing hymn, truly, Father, take my life and let it be. May that be our heart's prayer, yes. Take my life, whatever it is, let it be consecrated, Lord, to you. It's yours. May I willingly follow your leading, embracing the life that you've given. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.